Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, in the second half, we do a one-on-one with Bill O'Reilly, talking all about terrorists and just how much this country knows and what we do and what our policies are as well. Always enlightening. First, there's LifeLock. Children, well, they're targets of identity theft as well. School or medical office data breaches are common. Limit sharing their social security number and keep documents and devices safe. It's important to understand how cybercrime and identity theft are affecting our lives. Your personal info gets exposed, and it's done so often, it's easy for cybercriminals to steal your identity. Protecting your identity can be easy with LifeLock by Norton. LifeLock detects and alerts you to potential identity threats. So, ones you may not spot on your own, like loans taken out in your name. If you do become a victim of identity theft, a dedicated U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. It's LifeLock, right, Dawson?
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but you can keep what's yours with LifeLock by Norton. Join now and save up to 25% off your first year with promo code ADAM. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK or head to LifeLock.com. Use promo code ADAM for 25% off.
The Adam Carolla Show presents Bill O'Reilly's Birthday Cocktail Party for September 10th. Let's see who's invited. American golfer and a refreshing drink, Arnold Palmer is here. In right field, Baseball Hall of Famer, Roger Maris. Vocalist from Three Dog Night, Danny Hutton. We say Feliz Compleanno to Jose Feliciano. Guitarist from Aerosmith, half of the Toxic Twins, Joe Perry. English actor Colin Firth is here. American hip-hop star Big Daddy Kane. Guy Ritchie. And German Shepherd, Rin Tin Tin. Bill O'Reilly is on the Adam Carolla Show.
Bill's got another book. God, it just keeps them coming. Killing the Killers, The Secret War Against Terrorists. It's available now on Amazon or wherever you get finer books. I want to get into the details because I'm interested. Good to see you, Bill.
Carolla, how you doing out there?
Well, I'm really, for the first time ever, find myself online looking at homes in Texas and Florida and really homes anywhere but California, because it's getting a little unbearable.
No coastal commission in Texas or Arizona, so you won't have to worry about that.
Yes.
The book, by the way, is Killing Crazy Horse Carolla. All right.
Yeah.
That was the Native American book. This one, Killing the Killers. Last night, we learned that it's number one, going to debut on the New York Times bestseller list at the top spot. So we're real happy with that. And thanks for having me in.
My pleasure. So let's talk about the book and let's talk about the process. I think you and your co-author, you just sort of think, wouldn't this be a great subject? I do documentary, so I just have the same thing where I go, oh, this would be a good idea to do a documentary about. Is that sort of how you work?
Yeah, it's stuff that I want to know and that I believe other people are curious about. So Martin Dugard, he lives out in Orange County, California. He's a researcher. And I'll call him and say, hey, Marty, look, I want to get down into how the United States is assassinating terror leaders all over the world. So let's start investigating and researching that. We'll come up with a book and off we go.
So some of the stuff you guys have covered, you got the London subway bombing and you've got the Ariana Grande concert that was in Manchester Arena. I remember that one. The one that's interesting is the Pulse nightclub shooting in Orlando, because the news, as per usual, got that one wrong. But let's drill down on that. And by the way, the Pulse, that thing was really terror, because and I'll tell you why. If you're in a subway and a bomb goes off, that's horrific. And either the bomb killed you or the bomb didn't kill you, but it's over and done with in a flash. The Pulse nightclub, as I recall, the gunman was in that place, barricaded in that place with a lot of patrons, and went on executing people for a pretty long period of time before the cops breached the place. And that was a prolonged terror attack, because if you were hiding in a bathroom stall, you may have been in there for a long time. But you tell me.
Absolutely. Well, look, these terror attacks are designed to kill as many people as possible. You have to start there. You do it with a bomb, it's not that personal. I mean, you're dead, so it's personal, but it's boom. And it was ever in the vicinity. The guy in Orlando, he staked out this club because it was a gay club. And apparently he had some problems with his identity or whatever. But he was an ISIS guy. And if you're a terrorist, then all gays have to die. All Americans have to die. All gays have to die. All Jews have to die. You name it, they all have to die. But the harrowing part of that, as you pointed out, was that there were some people inside that club who couldn't get out, who were still alive, and they're trying to dodge this guy who's going around with a gun and killing people as they lie on the floor or as they try to hide in the bathrooms. So it doesn't get more horrific than that.
Did it take a while for the police to actually enter the club? That was my recollection of it.
Well, they had to be careful in the sense that whenever there's a hostage situation, this guy barricaded himself in and he had live people in there, you just can't run right in because then the hostages could be killed. So every police agency has negotiators, hostage negotiators, and they try to, you know, convince the guy to come out and not to kill more people. In this case, that's what happened.
Oh, they did talk him out.
Well, no, they killed him when they finally stormed it because he wouldn't come out.
Oh, okay.
But they made the attempt.
Right.
They made the attempt.
Now, the news kind of reported this as an attack on a gay nightclub, but they weren't really working the terrorist angle. The news is interesting. They did the same. There was the military fort, I can't recall, that had an Islamic guy who killed like 13 people, and they were calling it like a workplace accident or something like that. Chris?
Yeah, that was the Fort Hood thing.
Right. It's interesting to me.
Fort Hood, Texas.
Yeah, and Chris can look up some of the official particulars about Fort Hood. But it's interesting that if it's a, you know, so we have a problem. What we do is we send Merrick Garland up there to tell us that white supremacy and white supremacist groups are the biggest danger this country faces over and over again. And then when a black guy gets in an SUV and drives through a Christmas parade and kills five people, that hurts their narrative. Or when the guy from Fort Hood, Islamic, probably radical guy, shoots up 13 people, they don't like that. They don't like that narrative, so they kind of twist it, or they underreport on it, or they label it as something other than what it was, which is a terror attack. And this, I remember getting sort of twisted up as well. It was, you know, it was an attack on a gay nightclub, but they weren't really working the terrorist side of it that hard.
The ISIS angle. No, they were all working the some guy wants to kill homosexuals angle. Look, the press is corrupt, Carolla. You know it. I know it. Anybody listening to us knows it. There's agendas all day long on almost every story now. You never know. You get the unfiltered truth, which is why Killing the Killers is doing so well, because there's no ideology in this book at all. None. Not politics in a book. It's we open with bin Laden, what really happened in that compound in Abbottabad, Pakistan. You think you know, you don't know. We put you there. This is what happened. We end with Afghanistan and the 18 service people blowing up at the Kabul airport because President Biden couldn't figure out that if you let all these terrorists, 1,000 of them, out of Bagram, they're going to come down and try to kill Americans. He couldn't quite put that together. Anyway, all I do is tell you what happened, how it happened, and why it happened. And beginning to end, that's what Killing the Killers is all about.
So tell us about how they Well, let me just backtrack here. Philosophically, I think we've been burned by, pardon the pun, by terrorists, because we had this philosophical belief that they wanted what was best for their children. And if they just understood that we weren't their enemy, if they understood that we want democracy, we want them to flourish, we care about them, we don't want them, we want to live in peace with them, that they would leave us alone, essentially. I think it's pretty clear now that they have an ideology. We do our best to tamp it down here in this country, but they have an ideology, and that's they want us dead. And we're going to have to move forward based on that, not based on they want peace for their children as well.
Well, we have. The U.S. government no longer is trying to arrest these people or detain these people. When the CIA and the NSA, National Security Agency, when they find out where they are, a Hellfire missile shot from space obliterates them. There's no Miranda rights. There's no, hey, if you want to convert, we'll listen to you. It's bang, and right. They're off the planet. And the weaponry, and this is a fascinating part of killing the killers, is so sophisticated, and the surveillance is so sophisticated now, that these people, these terrorists, and they're all psychotic. It's like, you know, a convention of serial killers, and we'll all meet in Kabul, Afghanistan. That's what it is. There's no rationale here, no reasoning. They just want to kill infidels, and infidels come in all skin colors and religions except for Islam. So anyway, what we found out was that finally the United States government, the apparatus of defense, is doing what it should have done a long time ago, eliminating these people from the planet.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I think in Afghanistan, less than a year ago, they did send down some of those Hellfire missiles on some family that was collecting water, I believe. And
but that
I don't know.
That was the army.
Oh,
that was the military.
That was the military.
That wasn't the intel apparatus. Right. Right after the 18 military were killed, then the Pentagon, oh, we have to have a reprisal. And then they blow up innocent people because they don't know what they're doing in that area. It's very complicated, Carolla. U.S. Special Forces, by far the best in the world. Our weapons, by far the most powerful in the world. Putin, Xi, they don't have these space weapons. All right. Under Trump, $1.4 trillion with a T was designated to military. Nobody knows where that money went because it's all classified. A lot of it went to the space weaponry. Okay. Now, that wasn't used in the strike back in Afghanistan after the Biden debacle. That was a ground thing. And It was a screw up because It's easy to screw up. Okay. Which is why, in order to assassinate terror leaders, only one person can give that order, and that's the president.
Trump took out a pretty high ranking official, maybe 2 years, 3 years into his term. The name escapes me, but I think he was in his car.
Soleimani.
And there's a
Soleimani.
Lot. Right. Yep. Was that the right decision?
Oh, absolutely. So he was the head of the Revolutionary Guard in Iran. He was the chief of secret police inside that country. And he was the head of the terror apparatus outside. Soleimani, evil. SOB. And we get into him and what he did and what he didn't do. So this, I think, is one of the strongest parts of killing the killer. We pick him up on the last day of his life and trace every movement he makes, which is being surveilled from space and on the ground. He goes from Baghdad, where he was trying to burn down the American embassy there, to Damascus to meet with Assad, and comes back to Baghdad. All the while, the CIA and the NSA have eyes on him. And then I want everybody to buy and read the book. What happens after that is amazing, but I'll tell you, after the Hellfire hit him, the only thing left of Soleimani was a finger with a ring on it. That's how they identified him. And we have a picture of that finger and the ring in Killing the Killers.
And you were talking, and I just want to get people caught up on the Nidal Hassan. U.S. Army major, is a psychiatrist, and he fatally shot 13 people and injured 30 more. And it's the deadliest mass shooting in an American military base ever. So days after the shooting, I'm just reading the info that my producer got. The Joint Terrorism Task Force, they said they'd been aware of his emails, and he'd been going between Hassan and Yemen terrorists. And the U.S. government declined requests from survivors and family members of the slain to categorize the shooting as an act of terrorism or motivated by militant in Islam. So they basically, they classified it a workplace shooting, but they wouldn't call it terrorism. And it seems bizarre that we're fighting that battle within our own country. What's your head on that? No longer.
That was the early part, I believe. Do you have the year there that took place? But I believe it's the early 09, part of the
09.
Obama.
Sorry, 09.
Early part of the Obama administration. So this is fascinating. When Obama came in, he wasn't a terror warrior. In fact, he pulled all the U.S. troops out of Iraq. What happened? ISIS went in, took over the western half of that country, killed tens of thousands of people. You saw the beheadings, killed Americans, Kayla Mueller, the young American relief worker. And Obama was embarrassed by that. That really got him. The last 2 years, 14 to 16 of his administration, Obama became a terror warrior. But before that, he wasn't, and his administration wasn't. So that's what you're seeing. But now it's totally different. And here's another interesting thing. When Biden was elected, and remember, Biden was the only member of the Obama cabinet that said, don't go after bin Laden in Pakistan. He was the only one who dissented on that raid, which killed bin Laden. When Biden came in, he did not remove the Trump people from the CIA and the NSA. So the professionals that I write about in Killing the Killers that dismantled ISIS are still there.
Why did Biden... Why was he the only dissenting voice to say not to kill bin Laden?
Well, his reason is that we don't know if he's in there. And we had an 80% certainty that he was. And that if we do it, Pakistan will be mad. Okay, Pakistan was mad. So what? Biden had all this, but Biden, if you look at his history, he doesn't really understand the big picture of much. And I think we've seen that daily today. Doesn't really get cause and effect. And hey, if there's an 80% chance that the guy who ordered to murder 3,000 Americans is in this compound, you go find out, Joe. He doesn't really get that.
What was the story behind the story of the killing of bin Laden? I know you can't give away everything, but some bits and pieces.
No, I can tell you exactly what we have it. Tonight, Carolla, when you go home and start reading Killing the Killers, by the way, I hope you don't have anything on your schedule on Friday night, because you will be able to put it down. That's the first thing we have in the book. We have the first thing is the bin Laden raid. Been a movie on it, been a couple of books on it, but not the way we do it. Again, step by step. Take the helicopters, they fly in from Afghanistan, one of them crashes outside the bin Laden compound, the SEALs get out, nobody was hurt in a crash, they go into the bin Laden compound. We'll take you in there. As a reader, you're standing there. But here's a takeaway that I think people will find interesting. It wasn't bin Laden and the men who fought the SEALs, it was the women.
Wow.
Bin Laden was a coward. He hid behind his wife. And they were all killed because they had weapons. And a lot of people say, did they really want to take bin Laden alive? Very good question. They would have if he came out with his hands up and surrendered. But once they had to go into the dark compound, over. Because to take him alive would have caused political problems all over the place in the Islamic world. To waste them, which they did, put them in a bag and dump them in the ocean, was a lot easier.
Yeah, so he's in a bag. Who, Chris, did we interview? Who was this SEAL? We interviewed the guy who put the bullet in Bin Laden. I can't recall his name. You may know, but it was a very fascinating episode.
Yeah, one of the SEALs. Sure, he was
Robert O'Neill.
Robert O'Neill. Very interesting interview.
Right. Yes, and they were brave, and they were magnificent the way they did it. But we have the whole picture from the beginning to the end, and that's what hasn't been put forth yet.
So they put his body in a sack and threw it in the ocean, and they never wanted to have a gravesite or a place where he could, you know, martyrs could show up or any of that stuff. Is that sort of the thought? I mean,
that was it.
And that's probably going to be protocol for any remains of any nefarious world-renowned killers in the terrorist organization are probably going to end up deep sixed in a potato sack.
Well, most of them, there aren't any remains.
Right.
Once a Hellfire missile hits you, there's no remains. You're vapor.
Is the Hellfire missile coming from outer space, as you say?
Yes. So it's on a drone.
It's on a drone that's being controlled from the United States that's circling in orbiting?
In space. Yeah. It's the trigger for the drone Hellfires is in Nevada.
And it's up with the satellites in orbit.
Yeah, it's not quite as high as that, but a Hellfire missile from 5 miles away, I think it's less than a minute. Boom. But here's something even more amazing. The surveillance that we have on the unarmed drones can read the name of a golf ball in your backyard, Corolla, from 5 miles up into space.
Wow.
That's how the technology, I couldn't believe it when you guys were telling us all this. I mean, imagine, 5 miles away, they could read the name of a golf ball.
So there's a surveillance apparatus up there in circling, and then there's actual Hellfire missiles. Do we know how many?
Armed drones.
Armed drones.
I didn't get that. I told the national security people who cooperated with me, and they all did, all the ones that I asked, didn't get any turndowns, and I was amazed. I told them I wouldn't put anything in the book that would jeopardize the United States by saying, you know, we have this many missiles, or we have that, or we don't do that. We do it in a very specific way. Putin does not have these space weapons, and that's a constraint on Putin. And Xi and China didn't have them either. And Trump, $1.4 trillion to the military, a lot of that money went to this technology.
Well, speaking of this, there's been a lot of talk lately about UFOs and a lot of surveillance footage from cockpits of military aircraft saying, you know, nothing I'm aware of could move in that direction or at that speed or so on and so forth. Starting to come out. They're even saying they're going to talk about it with Congress. And some people say that stuff could be experimental military stuff that we're unaware of. What's your head on it?
Well, they are going to have hearings next week. UFO hearings in the House. And I'll cover it. But I mean, with the surveillance that we have now, if there were, you know, Yoda out there, I think we know about it. But look, I'm open to suggestions, but I'm not a conspiracy kind of guy. I got to see some evidence of it. But they're going to spend taxpayer money on the UFO hearings next week.
What's your take on Afghanistan? I know it was a disaster, but what's the future for Afghanistan?
They have no future. Al-Qaeda's back in northeastern Afghanistan. They're reconstituting there. They're training there. One reason only, to kill infidels. And we're at the top of the list. I believe Adam Carolla is number 3 on the infidel list.
Oh.
You might have moved down a couple of slots. I think Bill Maher's ahead of you on that list, but I'm not sure. But Afghanistan itself, when the report came out last week that the women now can't go out of the house without a full burqa head to toe, I don't feel sorry for the Afghan people. We gave them 20 years trillions of dollars, armed them to the teeth, trained them, did everything we could so they could protect themselves against these Taliban animals. They didn't fight. You're not going to fight for your freedom. You're not going to fight for your family. I'm not feeling sorry for you. I'm sorry if that's cold, but that's the way I see it.
What do you think they're planning? And do you have any thoughts about, you know, the U.S. has been, you know, relatively quiet for a while in terms of big time terrorist attacks. There may be attacks that were planned and thwarted that we don't know about, or maybe you know about it,
right,
but the general public doesn't know about it. First off, was there things that they were working that we thwarted? And what do you, well, give us that first. What do you know?
Okay. So what happens is that inside the United States, the FBI is in charge of monitoring terrorists. All right. So the white supremacist terrorists that Biden's always talking about, I guess they're in some Idaho compound or something, but you got to figure the FBI has got eyes on them, right?
Right.
Open border makes it easier for anybody, any terrorist in the world to get in here. Thank you, President Biden. But it's hard for them to coordinate among themselves because of our surveillance opportunities. Overseas, and that's command and control over there, they're the ones that give the orders, hit the Twin Towers, hit the Pentagon. That came from overseas. And the assassins that did it here, they communicated. That's almost impossible now. Because if after this interview, Carolla, you make a call to Lahore, Pakistan, somebody's going to be listening to that call.
Mm-hmm.
It just depends on what region you're going in. So when the U.S. intel officials get wind of a possible plot, the plotters are evaporated. Boom.
Hellfire.
So it's sometimes not hellfire. Could be special forces. Could be locals. Okay. Could be subcontracted out. But there's no like, well, let's see what happens. That doesn't
right.
happen anymore. They hear it, you're finished.
And is that part of the reason we haven't had any major terrorist attacks in the last 20 years?
So once Congress and Bush, the younger, designated groups as terrorists, then the United States military apparatus can kill them. Remember that?
Right.
So the Sinaloa cartel is a terrorist group. Tomorrow, we can vaporize the entire Sinaloa cartel by U.S. law. Why we don't do that? I discussed this with President Trump. I said, that's the way to get these guys. Just designate them terrorists. Take them out like that. Obrador doesn't want it. But so what? How many more tons of fentanyl are going to come in here? So that's the law. U.S. military on a terror designation can take you out.
Quick break. More with Bill O'Reilly after this.
Available now for pre-order. Adam's sixth book. Everything reminds me of something. Advice, answers, but no apologies.
It's insane. I blame everybody but me.
Adam drops knowledge, rants, and laughs, answering actual questions from you, the listener, and some celebrity friends. Follow the link at adamcarolla.com to purchase on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or through IndieBound to find your local independent bookseller. Everything reminds me of something. Coming this summer, wherever finer books are sold.
Well, speaking of subjects that are a little more domestic, do you have any thoughts on Hunter Biden and the laptop and what might become of that? Because there is some international appeal, Afghanistan and China and Russia. It's not just here, but I'm sure you have a take or two on that.
Well, Hunter's in trouble. Obviously, there's a grand jury underway right now in Delaware. They may indict him on tax evasion. If that happens, then he has to plead guilty, because if he pleads not guilty, then his dad is going to be dragged into it.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, it's all in the hands of regular folks on a sitting grand jury in Wilmington, Delaware. They're looking at the evidence, which is kind of overwhelming. that Hunter had every scam in the world going and enriched himself to the tune of $10 to $20 million while his father was vice president.
Yeah. Well, during the time.
Don't be surprised.
Oh, go ahead.
No, I'm just, don't be surprised if an indictment comes down and then the president's in real trouble.
Well, you know, it's funny, at the time when President Biden was saying, I have never discussed any of my son's business. I've never had a discussion with him about any of his businesses. I said at the time, if your son, as an average father, opened a soft swirl yogurt shop, you would have a lot of discussions with him over Thanksgiving. How's it going? How's the business?
What's the best flavor? Yeah, what's the best flavor? You know, look.
It seems impossible. Right. That they never discuss business, especially when he's flying with him on Air Force Two.
Joe Biden can't remember what day it is. So maybe he doesn't remember. I don't know. But it strains credulity, word of the day, Corolla, credulity, to say that. But, you know, let's see. I would be surprised if Hunter isn't indicted. I would be surprised.
And you think this is going to follow Joe into the White House, or it's going to make its way into the White House?
Becomes the biggest political story of the year. Again, he has to plead guilty. Then he's looking at prison time. Hunter's kind of crazy. Maybe he'll make a deal and throw his father under the bus. Is that out of the question? I don't know. He's kind of a crazy guy. He lives in Malibu. I think he lives near you, Corolla. You ought to go over and talk to him.
I'd be more interested in going across the street and talking to the Secret Service guys that are paying $30,000 a month rent to sit across the street from him. Yeah, it's interesting. And, you know, I think Biden could pull this off. Joe Biden could probably get out of this if he had all the mainstream media news outlets in his hip pocket like he had 2 years ago. But he's losing that constituency, and they're starting to do some actual reporting and pushing back a little bit. And I don't know that he can pull this off without having everyone at his sort of beck and call, as he did leading up into the election. Do you have thoughts?
Yeah, there's no way. I mean, if Hunter Biden's indicted, even the LA Times would have to cover it. You'd have to go in and tell them about it, because I don't know if they'd know, but even, oh yeah, well, I guess we should send a reporter out. Okay. So Joe Biden is finished. Everybody should understand that it's over for his administration with the inflation and the border and just his persona, that he doesn't know what's happening from day to day, can't speak. It's over. So now it's a matter of, can we last 2.5 years? Now, he's going to lose both houses of Congress in November. He's not going to be able to do anything. He'll sit there in the White House or go to Delaware and sit on the beach. But, you know, now we're looking ahead. Can we bring this country back from the damage that Biden has already done?
Yeah. What's your take on the 51 Intel experts that all said that the laptop had all the earmarks of Russian collusion? Were they compromised? Are they liars?
Look, Corolla.
Riley.
These people, they're all in D.C. They just want to go to cocktail parties. They all hang out with each other. They have no interest in what is true and what is not true. All right. The Durham trial starts on Monday. They're going to easily implicate the Hillary Clinton campaign for paying for this bogus Russian collusion stuff. But the press, and the worst liberal, Corolla, is better than the best conservative. That's the philosophy.
Right.
So whether it's 51 people saying, oh, the laptop was put out by Putin, or whatever insanity they say, I don't even listen anymore, Corolla. I report the news every day on BillO'Reilly.com, and we have millions of viewers, 300 radio stations. I don't even listen to this stuff anymore. CNN reports on my, go ahead, just do what you want. It doesn't matter. I'm in the real world. I have to report a semblance of the truth that I can back up.
Well,
not these people.
I mean, first off, it's incredible because as you think about it, the Durham thing's going to come out. They're going to find out the Steele dossier was all just a hoax, which we already know. And meanwhile, I do believe the New York Times got a Pulitzer Prize for their coverage of it.
Of the yes, Russian collusion.
Right.
So it can't get any worse for the press. And like the Biden administration, the corporate media in America is not coming back. It is corrupted. They make a lot of money. That's all they care about is making money. So that the people have to go to people like me and you who put on expositions where you might be able to learn something.
What do you think is going to happen with CNN and the takeover? Do you think they're going to have a strong change of position or course?
You know, I see the TV ratings every night. And as you know, I had the highest TV ratings on cable news in history, and nobody's ever come close.
19 years,
CNN
I believe.
CNN is now down.
Got to look it up here.
16 at number one.
16.
16 at number one. 18 number one bestsellers, 16 years at number one on television ratings. So CNN would have to fire every single talent they have, every one of them, in order to convince the public that the fix isn't in. That, yes, we're going to go back and report things that actually happened without skewing it so that the left benefits. There isn't one person on their air that could survive because they all were ordered by Jeff Zucker to get Trump to push bogus stories like Russian collusion, and they all did it.
What is your psychological take, not on Trump, but how people react to Trump, which is to say CNN and the apparatus, they went ballistic and, okay, they have an agenda. But I'm talking more your average American. You know, most of the sensible people I know, well, actually, many hate Trump, but they hate Trump with a kind of visceral hatred that you don't normally see toward any other politician. And they can't separate his policies from his persona. And I've always thought it affected narcissists the most because it's somehow all the people I knew that had the sort of Trump derangement syndrome turn out to be narcissists as well. But what is your sort of take on, from a purely psychological standpoint, of why it animated people so much, or he animated people?
It's an excellent question. Obviously, I'm not a therapist, but obviously I had some of the same situation directed at me and still do.
Yes. Perfect example. When you talk to, yep. I'm going to just cut you off to pay you a compliment for a second. You know, you got a ton of it. Tucker Carlson has now picked up the mantle and he gets a ton of it. And I know you and I know Tucker and I go, these are very bright guys. Like the first thing they're bright and their opinions are interesting and their thoughts are well formed and they're articulate and they have an opinion and it may be different than somebody listening. But why are we going down the ad hominem road and why are we turning them into caricature monsters? You were turned into a caricature. It wasn't, sure. You weren't a journalist we disagreed with. You were this caricature.
Yeah. And the liberal press went after and eventually got me. And the reason was I was successful. Then millions of people and continues today. But now I have a shield. Because I'm the CEO of my operation. I don't answer to anybody. Okay? So they can't come at me through the corporation. But because I was so successful, I was a threat to the propaganda they were putting out. Same thing with Trump. Trump was so successful in governing for 4 years, and he was, particularly on the economy. 1.4 inflation rate under Trump, about 10% now after 16 months of Biden. You make the call. Okay, so you take a dash of flamboyance and arrogance from Trump, and you add it to a guy who's doing pretty well governing, and the left can't stand it. They just can't stand it. And I've talked to Trump about this personally, you know, one-on-one. I said, look, you got to tamp down the confrontations, tamp up the accomplishments, ignore CNN unless they're really egregious. Don't take everything so personally. He listens to me, and then he goes out and does the exact opposite. So I don't know what to tell you.
Well, you know, where Trump would get himself into trouble, I felt, and it was also the media was always in Biden's hip pocket. They would do these things where, you know, he'd be on a debate stage, and they go, can you announce right now that you're not a racist? And it's a stupid question to ask people in their 70s. Go look at their history. You can decide whether they're racist or not. And it's worthless to bring up on a debate stage and a waste of time. We should be talking about policies, not emotions. But anyway, they go, can you announce, you know, in front of everyone that you're not a racist? And then he goes, why should I have to announce it? I've done everything right. You know, and they go, can you announce it? And then he'd go, I shouldn't have to look at my record. And then the headline the next day is he won't denounce racism. And in that way, he played into their hand because it would have been easy to go, yes, I denounce racism. What's next?
But he does something even more. The questioner, he attacks.
Right.
So if it's Wolf Blitzer or Megyn Kelly or whoever it is, he goes after that.
Right.
And then it's, we don't even remember what the question was. Look at this cat fight.
Right.
Or mud fight.
Yes.
And I keep telling him, stay out of that. Because you're exactly right. Just give it a one-word answer. I'm not a racist. What else you got? That's it.
Well,
then they can't do anything with it.
Speaking of the fight, you're right in that. And he got burned in that first debate where he just talked over Joe Biden. And it's a godsend for Joe. So what I mean is what he'll do is he'll go, are you telling me, Joe, that the Hunter laptop isn't real? Are you going to say that tonight? And then Joe Biden will go, you know, the laptop. And I go, you have a corrupt son. And then he'll go, the laptop. And I go, your whole family's corrupt. And it's like, just let him breathe and hang himself. Put the question out and then step back. He has. You're not even letting him answer the question.
It's discipline.
Yes.
And that's one thing that Donald Trump lacks because he's a rich guy. I wrote a book, The United States of Trump, and I just brought you right through it. When you're a rich guy and you're born into a family where you have unlimited money and nobody can tell you what to do because you're a rich guy, that carries forth.
Yeah, it's interesting, and he'd be so much stronger on the debate stage if he just put the question and then sat. So it's almost like you have a homicide investigator, and he goes, where were you on the ninth, on the night of the 29th of December? And you go, I was at a Costco. Yeah, okay, well, then you killed your wife. And you go, but I wasn't. And then, do you have a gun? And it's like, just let him answer where he was that night. Just step back. Let it breathe.
I once told Trump that in a debate thing, I'll be right behind you. So when they ask you a question, you say, I have an answer to that, and Bill is going to give it. And then I'll just go out, and I'll answer it. And so, but, you know, you have to understand that he has built up a cult following in his country by being Trump.
Oh, yeah.
They love the, you know, so it's double-edged, but the edge cut him when Biden got 80 million votes and 79.9 of those votes were against Trump,
right,
not for Biden.
No, there had to be, no one even knew what Biden's no one even knew what his platform stood for. It seems comical to me. I don't know what your head on it is, although you sort of expressed it, which is they keep going, is Biden going to be running for a second term? I'm like, he's not going to be alive.
No.
He's
just not. His own party knows it's over. But they don't have anybody else right now unless Michelle Obama steps up. She's the only one that could beat Trump because Trump wants to run. And if Trump runs, he's likely to win if he can moderate just a little bit and not be crazy out there. And if he puts DeSantis on the second, Trump DeSantis ticket, and Trump would have to then move back to New York because you can't have two candidates from the same state. That's an unbeatable ticket unless Michelle Obama steps up. And I don't know anything about it. I don't have any entree into her world. She, in the past, obviously said, no, I don't want to. She's the only Democrat that could win in 24. The only one.
Well, it's so funny, but the only Democrat that could win is one without a record. Because all the rest have a record. And we could just go through the record, and it'd be such a shit show that it wouldn't probably work to get America to vote for you. But she doesn't have a record. Yes.
Well, Corolla, she sold more books than I have.
That's right. Yes.
So, you know, got to be something going on there.
Yeah, she could be becoming the president. I think that was the name of her. And we would look there. Half of this country is not into policy. They're into precedents and first. And this has never happened before. So she would get 44% of the vote just based on being the first black female president of the United States. That would be enough for many, many voters. So that would be very interesting. And people like her. So I'm wondering how realistic that is. And yeah, I don't see, you know, Bernie Sanders or Kamala Harris and Pete Buttigieg. I got Gavin Newsom in my state. He's talking about throwing his hat in the ring. I don't know what it's based on. He's essentially ruined California. I guess now he could ruin the nation. But it's unimaginable to me that any of these people would have any momentum whatsoever. But Michelle Obama, that would be very interesting. And then also, de facto, people would be looking at her as Barack Obama's third term, I imagine.
Right.
So
that's their only hope, if they can convince her to get in.
That's a very interesting take. I've heard little bits and pieces of it, but I've not really. Do you think they're trying to convince her right now?
Yes, I do.
How do you think that?
Yes, I do.
How do you think that is manifesting itself?
It's a wall. They got a wall around them. They got three walls now with three mansions, Obamas. So I don't have any info coming out of there, but I have info going in. So I know the big Democrats who are behind the scenes, raise money and all of that, they love her to run.
Yeah, I think it's mainly based on a vacuum of not really having someone attractive the aforementioned Buttigieg and all that just seems like a, you know, Beto O'Rourke or something. Gavin Newsom feels like a non-starter. So where do you think this country is heading? Do you think we're going to swing back, that we're going to get back to what we sort of used to be, sort of like New York City? It was safe, then it got really dangerous, and then it got safe, and then it got dangerous again. And at some point, they swing back. That's kind of how we are with fashion. That's how we are with music. That's how we are with the trends, architecture, whatever it is. Do you think there's going to be a big red wave and sort of swing it back?
Well, I don't know if the Republicans are capable of that because they haven't really shown a lot of problem-solving ability to me. But certainly they're not going to hurt the country as much as the progressive Democrats are. History goes in cycles. I'm writing a column on BillO'Reilly.com. It'll be posted Sunday that says exactly what your question is asking. Will the American psyche, will the system come back? And I say yes. because we are the most innovative country in the world, the most generous country in the world. There is such a thing as karma. We have our flaws, but the land of opportunity remains. And look, Carolla, look at you, look at me. Could we have done this in Bulgaria? I don't think so.
I can't even speak Bulgarian. Speaking of international subjects, Ukraine, Putin, the war, what's your take on that?
Well, it's an evil act that Putin did. He has marginalized himself. He'll never come back. Russia now is a pariah nation. It'll never come back as long as Putin's in charge. Their economy is wrecked. Russian people don't have anything. They didn't have much to begin with. So it's a big loss for Putin and Russia. Probably in the end of the conflict, the armed conflict, he'll carve off a few eastern provinces of Ukraine and put Russian soldiers there. But I don't think the West is going to lift sanctions on Putin. I think they're through. And let's just pray that he doesn't lose his mind totally and cause more destruction.
Meaning nuclear conflict?
Well, look, guy's a dictator. I don't think the Russian military would do that, by the way. I think if he gave the order to do it, that they'd kill him.
Interesting.
Take him into custody because they know it's over.
Is there any, I have no idea, and it's never seems to be discussed, of a sort of second in command over at Russia, or who might replace him if an assassin's
there's
bullet
no one
found
powerful
its mark?
Enough to, yeah. There's nobody that could replace him. There are people there, functionary. So if he was evaporated today by a Hellfire missile, somebody would step up. But, you know, he's a dictator. He's like Hitler. Was there heir apparent to Hitler? No, they appointed an admiral to take his place when he committed suicide. German people even know who the guy was. And that's the way it is in Russia.
What are you thinking about? What are some of the ideas you're kicking around for your next killing series? Do you have things you could talk about?
We have it written already. It's already done because this book, Killing the Killer, is supposed to be out in November 21, but COVID, they couldn't get it printed. So we put it out May 3rd. So the next book is already written, and it will be out in the fall, and you, Adam Carolla, I can guarantee, are going to love this book. Totally different than Killing the Killers. It's a subject that I've never dealt with before, but it's contemporized. And I can't tell you what it is because then people steal the idea. You know, I got to wait until midsummer, but you'll get one of the first copies.
I look forward to it. Killing the Killers, The Secret War Against Terrorists. It's available now on Amazon, and it goes into all these the things you heard about on the news, like the aforementioned Pulse nightclub and the Ariana Grande Manchester arena bombing and things of that nature. But you probably don't have the full picture, not in the vivid detail that Bill puts it in. So go out and get that book. And just like all his books, essentially become an expert on whatever the subject of the book is. And you'll be the envy of your friends and your family. Bill, thank you so much for joining us as per usual. It's always good to catch up.
Same, Carolla. Thanks for being generous and having me in. I really appreciate it.
And you can check out Bill's podcast, No Spin News, as well. And until next time, Sam Crawford, Gina Gradenball, Brian, and Bill O'Reilly saying mahalo.
Not good for learning. You can watch this episode of The Adam Carolla Show at youtube.com/Adam Carolla. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. Is that correct? Shit, it might be. It might not be. Get your tickets to see the Ace Man at adamcarolla.com.
Would you love to save some money on your insurance? Of course you would. And who doesn't love a deal? When it comes to great rates on insurance, for everything. Geico can help. Insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, even your homeowners, condo, or renter's insurance. They are all covered with Geico. Save even more with special discounts when you bundle coverages together. Plus, they have an easy-to-use Geico mobile app and 24/7 roadside assistance, so it's easy to switch to Geico. It's a no-brainer. Switch today and see just how much you could save at geico.com. Go there and get a rate quote or contact a local agent.
All this month, stream the funniest films for free on Pluto TV. Watch comedy classics like Anchorman, The Legend of Ron Burgundy, and Mean Girls. Or drop in for a Tyler Perry marathon with a Madea family funeral and Madea's witness protection. Pluto TV also has hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and TV shows like Get Shorty, Be Cool, Key and Peele, Comedy in Color, and more. And no contracts, no subscriptions, no fees, no joke. So download the Pluto TV app on your favorite streaming device and start laughing today. Pluto TV, drop in, watch free.